Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Ready!
Buffalo Bills game day on the Buffalo Bills Radio Network.
All right, here we go, here we go. We gotta have a drive.
23 left, 23 left. Real.
And now, here's Breakfast with the Bills, fantasy style. Here's Derek Kramer and Lou DiBiase.
Good morning, Buffalo. We are getting you ready for a 1 p.m. kickoff between the Buffalo Bills at the Miami Dolphins with John Murphy and Eric Wood calling the play-by-play from the Northwest Bank broadcast booth. Today's game is presented by Independent Health. The red shirts are all about your health. Louis DiBiase, Derek Kramer. This is Breakfast with the Bills fantasy style on WGR Sports Radio 550 with you from 7 o'clock till 8. We're going to get into this matchup between the Bills and Dolphins. Take a look back to last Sunday's disappointing week one loss to the Pittsburgh Steelers, 23-16. But of course, this is Breakfast with the Bills fantasy style, so we will get into your fantasy questions. So hit us up on Twitter at WGR550, DiBiase, LOE, Derek, you're Derek Kramer 49. And then 803-0550 is the number to call as well. We'll go around the league, take a look at the best fantasy matchups for your lineup. Derek, though, to first start things off, diving into this matchup against the Dolphins, and to take a look back at last week, I don't know what you thought, but I feel like the loss was more about the circumstances of the day in the matchup rather than, I think, a sign of things to come. I didn't see some concerning trends that you should expect through the majority of the season.
This is going to be something that I'd imagine Nate, Joe, Jeremy, anyone that's on today is going to have the same theme here. This is going to be a theme this morning. Despite terrible offensive line play against a dominant Steelers defensive front, a special teams blocked punt, overall, not great offensive production.
Yep.
And an opponent that went 13-3 last year, you still lost by 7.
Right.
If that doesn't say that you're going to be fine and good teams lose games occasionally, I don't know what is. If you're already clamoring for the sky to fall, looking at the guy that called in the Extra Point Show on Monday and said maybe we should look at Mitch Trubisky, looking at you, guy.
Yeah, we're not there.
We're not. We shouldn't be there. And if you are, that's a you problem, not our problem. Because today is going to be about that five-letter word, relax.
Yeah, I agree. And I think the defense was good against Pittsburgh. And to me, if one of the units was going to struggle, I'd almost prefer it to be the offense, and week one is always weird, and of course, the Steelers are just a great defense. They might be the best defense in football from top to bottom. This is how the matchup was with them last year, not to this extreme, but this is how it was in 2019 as well.
The Bills swung the game last year.
Exactly.
Taron Johnson picked 6 at the end of the half.
2019, it was kind of the same thing. It just so happens this year, outside of the other two games.
The big play happened on the other side.
Yeah, the big play happened for Pittsburgh. So I think it was a matter of circumstance. Week one is always strange. The starters didn't really have a preseason to knock off the rust. And then, again, Pittsburgh's defense is great. And the offensive unit is just, Derek, is too talented to play like that again, over and over again. You're not going to be playing the Pittsburgh defense every week.
No, you're not. And let's make one, I'm going to make one concern aired out here.
Sure.
And that's really the only one I have. The last two games where the results have mattered, the Bills' starting offensive line has not been up to snuff.
Sure.
You look at the Kansas City game, and the interior line was dominated by Chris Jones and company.
Yes, it was.
And now you look at this Pittsburgh game, and there's three late pass rushers on the edges, and you have Cam Hayward causing all of the chaos last week. The interior line has to play better, and I would even say that Cody Ford was the best of the three, and he was occasionally benched for Ike Bocker. So whatever those three have to do up front, in Feliciano, Morris, and Cody Ford, get it together. Because if this happens again, then that's what we're going to start calling a trend.
Yes.
However, yeah, it was your last two games that have mattered, but it's only two games.
Right.
But if it consistently is going to happen against Miami's a decent defense.
Yeah.
Washington, next week, pretty good defense.
But there's no TJ Watt up front. There's no Hayward.
Not
so
this
if they
week,
struggle,
no.
Melvin Ingram even on that Steelers
Melvin
defense.
Ingram was a sneaky good addition.
Yeah,
we
I mean,
found
that
out real fast.
Yeah, Ingram's been one of the most underrated pass rushers
and Deion Dawkins,
been in the league.
Deion Dawkins this week had comments about the fact that you know he's still trying to get to where he was.
Sure.
After having COVID right before the seasons would start.
Right.
I hope that that's not a long-term problem. Not just for the team's sake, but for his personally too. Because I'd imagine, you know, if you're struggling like that, it's going to take a mental toll on you too. We have to remember, these people are human. And if you're bad at your job for the day, you're going to be mad for the rest of the day.
Well, and Dawkins is a Jenga piece. I mean, if you have, it doesn't matter how talented your receiving core is. It doesn't matter how good Josh Allen is. You saw, even with, you know, the AFC Championship, but also look at what happened to the Chiefs 2 weeks later in the Super Bowl. It doesn't matter if you have Patrick Mahomes, Tyreek Hill, and Travis Kelce. If your offensive line can't protect you and a defense is getting to you in a, you know, 1.5 seconds, you're going to have, even as mobile as Josh Allen is, if he's fighting for his life every play, you're never going to be able to get into a rhythm that way. You're never going to have time to take the deep shots. And you know Josh Allen in this offense, they're still going to try, and defenses are going to dare you at that point and play off if they're getting to you with a four-man pass rush. So, yeah, I mean, there's a reason they say it all starts in the trenches, because bad offensive line play can ruin everything about a team, despite how talented you can be across the board.
Yeah, ruins some of the better, say, for example, fantasy lineups that you have.
Right.
So, yeah, again, we need to see this offensive line perform, because if not, then we're going to start to see something that really needs to be like paid attention to, because then the next week, Washington, it doesn't get any easier on the defensive line front.
Yeah. For sure. That might be the them and Pittsburgh might be the two best.
Yeah.
So top you're gonna, three for sure.
You're going to have some tough sledding to start. That said, it's Miami week.
Mm-hmm.
And for one reason or another, I don't know why this happens, but anytime Josh Allen plays against the Dolphins,
I know.
It's light 'em up time.
He's owned the Dolphins in his career.
And I don't get it, because Miami, with those all throughout the years that Allen has been playing them, the Bills and Dolphins have had different collections of talent, and it didn't matter if Allen had Charles Clay as his leading receiver,
right,
or if Stephon Diggs was here.
Yeah.
Didn't matter. Josh Allen throws and shows. I don't expect it to be any different here. I do expect that Xavien Howard is going to be matched up with Diggs. Diggs will still probably get his, but your first big explosive Diggs game with him in your lineup isn't going to be this week either, I don't think.
But if you're getting, you know, 12 targets every week and nine, even last week he had 9 receptions and nearly 70 yards. I mean, that's
it's a floor.
In a PPR league, that's a floor of like 15 points.
Yeah, that's a very safe floor for you. And
so you definitely learned last week.
Justified.
The Diggs production last year was not a mirage.
No, it's not. And now you look at the other player that had a large target share last week, Cole Beasley.
Yeah.
Part of that, I think, may have been the game script because of the fact that you couldn't go deep often.
Right.
And you had to exploit a lot, but Beasley had 12 targets, one behind Stephon Diggs.
Yeah.
That is something to pay attention to.
I
because
agree.
If that's another heavy target share, that's going to turn into Cole Beasley becomes a must-start floor player in PPR leagues.
Well, and you know what's interesting, too? Like, Diggs and Beasley are going to hog most of the target share throughout the season. Like, that's a trend that you can see being consistent throughout the 2021 season. But Derek, at the same time, like, I liked what I saw from Emmanuel Sanders. I thought Josh Allen was consistently targeting Sanders. He finished 4 for 52 yards, and he also almost was, he was a drop and a big hit away from having two other 20 plus yard plays. I mean, the deep bomb that would have went for a touchdown if Allen just could have reined it in a little bit. And then the one play he hit Sanders down the seam for 20 plus yards.
It was
just a bang bang play. And so even though I think Beasley and Diggs are the guys clearly to own with this Bills passing attack, I thought Sanders and Allen had a strong connection from the jump, and that's a good sign for a quarterback and a receiver that are playing for the first time together.
Now, there is one thing to look out for when it comes to Sanders in particular.
Yeah.
We need to see what the route concepts are like for him this week.
Mm-hmm.
But he had an average yards per target of over 17 yards. That's not tenable for a fantasy player.
Sure.
It's not at all.
And it's not. It's a good point because he's not going to get the... So when he was with the Saints last year and when he was with the Broncos the last few years, he kind of was their Cole Beasley, where he was in the slot. He was doing a lot of the underneath work, and I think you could rely more. So you weren't going to get a big game out of Sanders. Like, I owned Sanders last year with the Saints, and you weren't going to get a 20-point game out of him. But with Drew Brees there, you're like, and Sanders is in the slot, I'm going to get 10 to 12 points each week. It's a good point you brought up because Beasley is that guy for the Bills. And like you said, with the targets, he's going to own maybe double-digit targets every week or close to. So with Sanders, yeah, is it reliability based on only the deep game, like chunk yardage? It's a good question. I think outside of Diggs and Beasley, that might just be how the offensive unit is.
And the good news, though, would be, like, yeah, it's a risky start every week if you decide to put Sanders into your lineup.
Mm-hmm.
But the good news is that Josh Allen's also one of the best intermediate passers that there is in the game right now.
And this is an offense that passes the ball more than almost, if not anybody.
So, real quick, before we really shift into Miami.
Yeah.
There's one more thing that you see, and granted, it was one game, but the Josh Allen haters are back on Twitter. They're like, see? Can't do it against elite defenses, see? And we're just like, yeah, no. Look, regression to the mean is very possible here. And by regression, I don't mean Allen's going to be terrible.
Well, and what mean are we talking about? Because 2019 to me is not the... I mean, last year's play cannot be replicated every single year.
There's
players, even the best of the best, Aaron Rodgers, he'll have an MVP season every couple years, but he doesn't always have a 2020 type of season.
Exactly.
There is a certain floor. But yeah, I saw that too. And when people discuss like regressing to the means, I think that we haven't seen that yet, though, with Josh Allen. I thought last year was the ceiling. I don't think 2019 and 2018 is the floor. I think there's certainly a middle ground there to be had.
Yeah, no, it's not like he's not going to be 2019 Josh Allen forever. Like,
right. And that's a guy you can win 10 games with, but Allen is a much better player this year, even if he's not what he was last year, than what he was in 2019.
Yeah, is he going to perform on MVP caliber stats every year? No.
No.
That's unrealistic to ask for. Is he good enough to get the Bills to a Super Bowl? Yes.
Well, and can he still be a top-tier quarterback without being an MVP?
Yes.
Yes, 100%.
I would like to think so.
Yes,
and this and a bounce-back game here would be one way to really do it. The one issue I might say could be a little prevalent is possibly some rain today.
Yes, absolutely. Derek, take a look at the Miami weather.
And the weather brought to you by Sullivan's Brewing Company from Ireland to Buffalo, the best ales in the world. Down in Miami, well, if you're going down there today, you're in for the scorcher. It's 87 degrees at kickoff at 1 o'clock. And scattered showers, 24% chance of rain by kickoff, and it could be about 40% chance of rain throughout the afternoon. And now you get to Miami. Now you get to a team that you've dominated a lot over the last couple of years.
Yeah, it's weird that this is a perfect bounce back opportunity because, like you said earlier, this Miami defense is good, and it's what has carried this team for 2 years. I mean, last year Tua wasn't the reason that offense or that team in general almost was one win away from making the playoffs.
They really were just a Colts loss away.
Right, and yet I do envision this as a perfect bounce back because even in the years, Derek, where Josh Allen wasn't an MVP candidate like he was last year, even when he wasn't, like, there was dramatic improvements from 2018 to 2019, but even in 2018, the best Josh Allen looked as a rookie was against the Dolphins. Like, he has absolutely, even last year in a game, week 17, where the Dolphins have to win to get in, and the Bills have nothing to play for, they still, what, they put up 50 or
close
near?
To it. Yeah.
They blew the team out when they had nothing to play for. I don't know what it is, because again, Miami's defense, it's not star-filled, but it's their strongest unit on the team, and yet Josh Allen, like his career, you look at six games played, a 64% completion percentage, 1,552 passing yards, 17 touchdowns, only to four interceptions, and a 114.3 QBR. I mean, he's always good against the Dolphins. It doesn't matter the situation, so it shouldn't be a perfect bounce back game, but it is.
I'm genuinely wondering if, like, a Miami Dolphins player, like when Allen was a kid, just like high timed him asking for an autograph, and he didn't get it, and he's just like, he's got this book of haters, and he just writes the Miami Dolphins. I don't know. Maybe that's what happened.
Well, he's a Cali boy, right? Maybe he just likes the warm weather and he's going down to Miami.
I don't. But then he does it here.
Well, that's a good point.
In the not warm weather, and Miami shows up, and he's just like, yeah, you're done.
That's just, I think that's how it is, though. Some quarterbacks are just great against some teams. It really is. Maybe Allen is to the Dolphins what Tom Brady was to the Bills.
Yeah, that's true. Well, Tom Brady did that to everybody.
Well, for sure, but more to the Bills than anybody else over the span of two decades. So, yeah, I don't know. Maybe that's the new dynamic in the AFC East.
And the strangest thing, you bring up Brady in this. Like, Brady and the Patriots usually had trouble in Miami. Like, as dominant as they always were, they would always struggle
that
in Miami.
That was another weird thing. There was sometimes you were incredible
against
Miami? A team.
Get it together.
I know. It's always one or the other. Sometimes a quarterback is great against a team, and sometimes they just randomly always struggle. You're right. It's a great point.
Get it
no matter
together,
how
Miami.
Bad or good the Dolphins were, they always gave Brady a run for their – like, it was always in the AFC East, Brady always destroyed these three teams.
Their quote-unquote tank season. They win in Week 17 and change the entire dynamic of the National Football League.
They pull off the miracle against the Patriots a couple years ago where Gronk's trying to tackle Kenyon Drake. I think this is a perfect bounce-back opportunity for Josh Allen and this offense. Guys, today's show is sponsored by TRS Heating and Air Conditioning. They want to intercept your heating bills this football season. Winter is right around the corner, and TRS Heating and Air Conditioning wants to pay your heating bill. Let TRS intercept your heating bills. Register to win at WGR550.com.
Louis, last week we talked about the running backs for the Bills, and an answer was very clearly defined by the time the inactives came out.
Yeah.
Singletary, the lead guy. Moss, inactive for game day.
Right.
And Sean McDermott, after that game, saying it was a numbers thing. So I think that just pretty much says Devin Singletary could get you some points as a running back three in any sort of week. I think this is one of those weeks where you could put him in and there's some very intriguing possibilities. It's just the fact that he is always going to be a risky play because of the fact that the Bills don't run the football a lot.
Right.
And you don't know much how much of his target share he's going to get.
Right.
Because, again, two guys already taking up double digits in a game where you threw it 50 times.
Yes.
That's pretty much almost half of what you have for the rest of the team.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's the tough part, right? Because you
But Singletary also looked good.
Well, that's the thing. He was efficient. He was 11 of 72 for 72 yards.
Yeah.
So he's averaging nearly 7 yards a pop. But the problem is, Derek, like you said, you have to rely on that efficiency because even though Zach Moss was a scratch, you would assume, oh, I can bank on volume there. Not with this offense. Like you said, I mean, this is maybe the heaviest passing attack in football. Even against the Pittsburgh Steelers, in a close game, they're attempting that many passing attempts. They don't run the football. And so even though Zach Moss, and I was very surprised he was a healthy scratch. Me and you went back and forth on last week's show about who's getting, you know, if it's 60-40, who gets 60, who gets 40, or if it's 51-49 more so, who gets that extra nudge, right, in carries. And even though Moss was a healthy scratch, Singletary still, he had a good day for you probably if you started him in the flex, you know, 7 to 10 points. You can probably bank on that if this trend continues. But he still had to average nearly 7 yards a carry to make it worth starting.
Yeah, and
it's just tough to ever predict, even with Moss out.
It's tough to predict, and it's even tougher to really be able to rely on that for a running back. As barren as the position sometimes may show to be, you still can't predict what happens with Devin Singletary. Like, next thing you know, you put him on the bench, he's going to get you like 22 because he scores a couple touchdowns for some reason.
Yeah.
It's just, it's very infuriating to see, but you're never going to be able to properly justify him being in or out of your fantasy lineup. It's very weird.
Well, and it's not like Zach Moss is also going to be a healthy scratch every week, too. I mean, that's the thing you have to factor in as well. I'd imagine Zach Moss is going to be involved. I was surprised. I mean, I drafted him to be my third running back. In fairness, it's a 14-team league, so I'm kind of, you know, my hands are tied. But I don't know. I mean, the summer wasn't good to Moss, but heading in, the majority of, at least when you look at the national media, who's, you know, less checked in, but Zach Moss, I felt like, was the favorite heading into this year to be the lead guy.
I didn't think that because of the fact of Tyler Dunn wrote a pretty good piece on Devin Singletary in the offseason.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay, I'm going to pay attention here. Yeah. And that was pretty much the one where I was like, okay, my eyes are on Singletary. Let's see what happens.
He did look good on Sunday, for sure.
And that is part of the difference that you're seeing a little bit here. I am intrigued to see what the usage is this week. But if I had him on my fantasy team, I'm probably not starting him. More or less because of the fact that I'm in fear of getting 3 points. Because Miami focuses up on the ground game for some reason. And then Josh Allen torches for 400 and like 4 touchdowns.
Yeah, it's just I'm going to be very curious in keeping a close eye on this running back situation because I thought it was going to be something each week. It's kind of like, you know, you look at the Patriots tight end situation with Jonnu Smith and Hunter Henry. It's going to be a different guy each week. We'll see with Singletary and Moss again this week, but clearly Singletary is the running back to own. So if you're in a pinch this week and you need one of these guys to play, it certainly is Devin Singletary.
Now, real quick, we don't have a lot of time in the segment, but Miami's players. Buffalo's defense did a lot better than what saw last year overall, especially against the running game.
Mm-hmm.
But part of that also could be attributed to Pittsburgh's offensive line not being very good.
Yeah,
Miles Gaskin is a player to have there. Will Fuller not playing in this game after due to personal reasons. And now you've got Jalen Waddle, Devontae Parker.
Both look good, by the way, last week against New England.
Both look good. And then a player that possibly in deeper leagues was drafted as a tight end for you, Mike Gesicki, dud last
week. I was surprised because I felt like that's Tua's favorite target.
And his snap count was low.
Yeah.
He was outsnapped by some other. He was outsnapped by a blocking tight end. I don't know what's going on there.
Maybe it was just the game script. I'm not sure.
But the Bills also do have a tendency to let tight ends do their thing.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not going to say anything about putting Gesicki in. After that snap count, there's no way I'd risk it.
Yeah.
As for Waddle and Parker, you're probably okay with starting one of them and taking a risk.
Yeah.
Just because they're talent alone.
Right. But I mean, they both only had 4 catches last week, but both surpassed 60 yards. Waddle had a touchdown as well. Parker surpassed 80 receiving yards. So,
and it's against a respectable Patriots defense. So if you think the same thing can happen with one of those again this week, it's probably going to be the case.
I think Trey White probably stays on a side, right? I don't think he follows Parker.
He's not
or
following.
Waddle.
Just like last week, he's not following anybody. But I do think that there is some potential to get something. That said, I'd say all the Dolphins are a little risky.
Yeah, I don't feel great about anybody. And it's not just because of the Bills' defense. I just don't trust Tua.
Yeah.
And so that's my issue is with Waddle. What happened with Waddle last week was a touchdown saved that game for him. He looked good in the 4 touches he had. But the deep game, I don't know how often it's going to be there with Waddle. So stylistically, if I'm choosing between Waddle and Parker, I'm probably going Parker. But when you combine the Bills' matchup, their success against the Dolphins in the past, and then Tua, it's just always going to be tough for me to feel great about anybody on that offense.
I would say you could probably start the receivers and take the risk because of the fact that game script also may play a factor here. If Josh goes Josh on you, you got to keep up.
Garbage time?
Or you just got to play keep up.
Yeah,
and if it doesn't work, then garbage time.
I don't think Tua can keep up, but we'll see today.
We'll see today. And guess what? As everything goes on today, you'll watch it. But then tomorrow, it's time to react. And tomorrow on WGR, as usual, it's your Buffalo Bills Football Monday presented by Northwest Bank, increasing the value of you. Howard and Jeremy break down the game in the morning. Then it's the Extra Point Show from 10 to noon, followed by One Bills Live, Chris Brown and Steve Tasker. And then at 3 o'clock, Chopin Bulldog take over. Former Bill Eric Wood joins them at 4. And then, of course, Monday Night Football as Westwood One presents the Lions and the Packers. Oh, boy. Buffalo Bills Football Monday all day tomorrow on the home of the Bills, WGR Sports Radio 550. And we'll be hopping around the league next segment.
Breakfast with the Bills, fantasy style on WGR. Get your questions in at WGR 550, at Derek Kramer 49, at DiBiase LOE. And 803-0550 is the number to call. We'll go around the league next.
Even think about yesterday these days, you know what I'm saying? Because, you know, I only can control today, but I anticipate going into this game with a mindset of just everybody trying to execute and being on the same page.
Stephon Diggs looking to rebound along with the Bills as they are 0-1. And as Corey had said in the update, the Dolphins are in the division lead. Hope you don't enjoy the view from the top for long, Miami.
I was going to say, that won't last.
That will not last. I would like to think the Bills come back to the win column this week. This is Breakfast with the Bills Fantasy Style. Derek Kramer, Lou DiBiase. We're here getting you ready for a 1 p.m. kickoff between the Buffalo Bills and the Miami Dolphins. John Murphy, Eric Wood calling the play-by-play from the Northwest Bank broadcast booth as always. And today's game presented by Independent Health. The red shirts are all about your health. And we're here about your fantasy health.
That's right. It's
why?
Breakfast with the Bills Fantasy Style.
Now it's time to go around the league.
And Derek, we're going to start here with our 1 p.m. matchups, and it's the Colts against the Rams. Some good news for the Colts. Michael Pittman and T.Y. Hilton expected to play. That's huge for Carson Wentz. Last week, all he had was Zach Pascal. Nyheim Hines actually is the guy that led the team in targets at running back. I still like Hines. I think it's a high floor, but huge for Wentz to get Pittman and Hilton back here.
Yeah, and you're going to get a little bit of intrigue here when it comes to Jonathan Taylor. Obviously, right. He's a must-start kind of guy.
I think you can play both running backs. I'm nervous to play Pittman or Hilton, though.
Yeah, I would steer out of the way of the great Colts wide receivers, and their secondary is just as talented. Aaron Donald will wreak some havoc. Carson Wentz is going to be forced into some bad decisions as well.
Yeah.
I do think, though, that your running backs are safe, both in Taylor and Hines.
I asked you last week who's the third Rams receiver to own, and I thought DeSean Jackson felt like the favorite, but it looked like Van Jefferson.
You talked with your heart on that one.
Yeah,
I know you did.
He's on a snap count because they got to keep him healthy. So I think Van Jefferson, if you need a third Rams receiver, he's over Tutu Atwell and DeSean Jackson for sure.
Yeah.
A look at Texans, Browns, Derek, no Odell Beckham Jr. again today for Cleveland. So I feel like with Cleveland's status quo, you run with the running backs. And I mean, I think I like Baker Mayfield against this Texans defense.
Baker Mayfield's going to steal a touchdown away this time, I think. Like, Texans probably tackle someone at like the 4 or 5, and Baker throws a touchdown short to like Landry or maybe even Anthony Schwartz, who I think is a popular pickup right now. He is questionable for this game, but if Schwartz plays, that could get you some nice points if you're already in the risk it for the biscuit type of mentality.
Brandon Cooks on the other way by just so underrated. I mean, to me, one of the most underrated receivers in the league. He had a huge week last week against Jacksonville. Obviously a much better defense, but Tyrod Taylor likes to go deep, and I think that connection is going to continue. I like Cooks in this game. When it comes to the Texans running back trio, Derek, I have no idea what to tell you. All three of them had touchdowns, and I couldn't tell you which one is going to be the
best. And today, avoid them.
Yeah, I think it's
Cleveland's got a good defense.
Different, for sure. Bengals, Bears. Derek, Chicago was the only team last week not to complete a pass of 15-plus yards. When it comes to air yards, I mean, that's Andy Dalton and just the Chicago attack without Justin Fields. Darnell Mooney's still dealing with that back injury. He will likely, or he's going to play today. But I think Dalton just kills his value.
Dalton kills a lot of value. David Montgomery is your only start with the Bears. As for Cincinnati, good for Jamar Chase.
Yeah.
Guy making it public that he was struggling to see the football. What happens? He only goes and puts up a nice little 50-yard bomb last week against the Vikings. Joe Burrow looked pretty good coming back. And I like the opportunity that they have in front of them here. I would say if you need to start someone in a flex, T. Higgins has that potential too. Chase definitely has that. I like a lot of the Bengals' options here today to keep going.
Yeah, Chase and Higgins can thrive together. I think Boyd is clearly going to be the third option. And, you know, there's always been a floor with Boyd, but I'm not sure this year with Chase and Higgins on offense.
Yeah.
Patriots, Jets. Derek, Nelson Agholor is good. I mean, he's been good in 4 of the last 5 years. He had 5 catches last week, 72 yards and a touchdown. I don't know. Good luck trying to figure out which Patriots tight end is the one to play each week. I own both, and it's going to drive me mad all season long.
Yep.
So for me, when it comes to the Patriots passing attack, I feel the best about Nelson Agholor.
Yeah, I would say I agree with that, especially this week against the Jets. Meanwhile, the Jets players, if there's anyone that you had in there, we talked about more last week.
Yeah.
Just put them away.
I thought Corey Davis, volume-wise, is going to be the play.
Put them away.
But yeah, I agree. I mean, the Jets, Zach Wilson was fighting for his life, and that was against Carolina.
Yeah. Oh, God.
Eagles 49ers, no Jason Verrett, the 49ers' top cornerback against this Eagles passing attack that went off against the Atlanta Falcons last week. Derek, I really like Devontae Smith in this game, and I think even in deeper leagues, Jalen Reagor, Quez Watkins could be playable since they're one play away at any moment from breaking a big one.
And not to mention Jalen Hurts firmly cementing himself into some early QB1 conversations.
Yep.
Meanwhile, on the other side of the coin, there is a lot to talk about with that running back situation. Kyle Shanahan... The Shanahans just don't go ahead and destroy any and all fantasy value from backfields anytime they exist. And here we are again. Raheem Mostert goes down on the first week of the game, of the year, I should say. And then now you've got another question mark here. Elijah Mitchell was the popular pickup after going off against Detroit.
Yep.
And now you look at it and go, Trey Sermon was inactive. Mitchell made the most of his opportunity. Yep. Is he your RB1 question mark? I don't know. I don't trust it. Mm-hmm. I don't, because Brandon Ayuk got no catches.
Yeah, he's in the doghouse. No targets last week.
No targets last week.
The comments
and
this
Deebo
week.
Samuel went off.
Yeah.
But then Kyle Shanahan walks it back and says, yeah, he's probably going to get his snap count. And I'm just like, can you decide on anything, man?
I mean, I think Mitchell over Trey Sermon certainly this week, but it's a tough matchup against that Eagles defense anyway.
If I give Kyle Shanahan a platter of like turkey roast beef or ham sandwiches, he's not going to know what to pick.
He wants chicken salad actually instead. Steelers Raiders. No Josh Jacobs. Kenyon Drake is RB1, but Derek, it's a tough matchup against Pittsburgh. I think he's flex worthy based on volume, but outside of Darren Waller, I don't feel great about any Raider today.
No, thank you. Hard pass. And then, meanwhile, Pittsburgh, Najee Harris got all of the snap count last week.
Yep.
Start him comfortably.
For sure.
The receivers, you don't know which one's going to get to go off. We talked about that last week. But against the Raiders today, I'd start them all with confidence in a flex spot.
I agree. Panthers, Saints. I like the Panthers defense better than most, and I don't know what really to tell you about the Saints receivers right now without Michael Thomas. So I don't really feel great, honestly, about this matchup. The Panthers on offense is interesting. Like, Darnold and Robbie Anderson connected with that deep pass last week, but that was Anderson's only catch. It's not going to be the volume that he had last year. Christian McCaffrey comes back and instantly just catches 9 balls. So with Anderson, I feel like it's kind of boom or bust with the big play.
It is, and meanwhile, DJ Moore is just probably just put him in.
Yeah, for sure.
Darnold seems to already trust him, and I like what he's done already. Granted, it was against a bad Jets team.
Yeah.
So we'll see what a normal team gives him this week.
Broncos, Jaguars, no Jerry Jeudy for Denver. Cortland Sutton's at 50%. Against that Jaguars defense, I like KJ Hamler. I'm starting Tim Patrick today as well. I think both are playable. So is Teddy Bridgewater, who looked really good last week against the Giants.
I would even start Sutton, even if he's at 50%.
Yeah.
If he's playing in this game, I would put him in, because Jacksonville just made Taylor look like a consistent all-pro quarterback.
I think on the Jaguars side, they're going to get blown out a lot, and I do like the passing attack for that. I think you're going to get a lot of
potential.
Garbage time with Trevor Lawrence this year, because that defense looked abysmal, and that was against Houston.
Yeah, and Chenault, Chark,
yeah,
those are your guys probably to
over
go after.
Marvin
and
Jones,
Marvin Jones
sure.
still.
And I would he still even, caught a touchdown.
I would even say Marvin Jones got a good target share, though.
Vikings, Cardinals. I think Arizona continues where they left off against Tennessee last week. Kyler Murray looked like an MVP. And against that Minnesota secondary, we saw what Joe Burrow and Jamar Chase could do and T. Higgins. I think Arizona continues to roll in the passing attack. And Derek, I think Rondale Moore is a sleeper this week. He went 4 for 68 last week, 4 receptions, 68 yards. I think he is the third Cardinal receiver to own, not A.J. Green. A.J. Green looks done to me. I mean, he looks old.
It's unfortunate to see a guy that good over the years fall that harshly, and that's probably what's happening here.
Cowboys, Chargers, another shootout coming for Dallas?
Yes. Start all your Cowboys players.
Yeah.
Start all your Chargers.
Zeke? He did not look good, but Tampa, that's a tough front.
It's a tough front, but at the same time, you drafted him to start him.
Yeah.
You need to at least go 3 weeks before making some bold decisions on that one. You drafted him in the first round. You're putting him in right now.
Falcons, Buccaneers, I think a blowout might be coming. Atlanta looked brutal against Philadelphia.
Oh boy, yeah.
And I do expect Mike Evans to bounce back. It was the Antonio Brown, it was the Chris Godwin show, but I think Evans bounces back.
Like the Steelers receivers, the same thing's going to happen to the Buccaneers on a much higher prestige, because you drafted those players a lot earlier than the Steelers trio, and one of the three is going to have a dud every week.
Yeah, that is the tough part, right? And I feel like
I have Godwin, and I know that that's going to happen.
I do too. But I feel like Godwin might be the most, like, I feel like Brown and Evans might be the ones that affect each other the most, because Godwin has that niche role of inside. He's going to get a lot of volume over the middle.
He's got the safest floor of the three.
Yeah, I think Brown and Evans are the ones that are going to battle the most.
Yeah,
here.
But we don't know which one's always going to pop off. That's the big thing.
By the way, I liked Leonard Fournette last week, too. He was involved in
didn't
the receiving
help that
game
Ronald
way
Jones,
more than I thought.
Well, it didn't help that Ronald Jones fumbled, but now Bruce Arians said, he's back to starting.
Well, you thought, like, Gio Bernard might be this James White type of player, but Fournette was lining up a receiver sometimes. He made a great catch, like one-on-one in the air. So, yeah, I like Fournette too as well this week. Titans, Seahawks. I expect Julio Jones to bounce back. I would say more so that was a product last week of the blowout. And I don't know. Julio Jones didn't really do much, and I own him. And
I
think
no,
he's going to bounce back.
You traded him to the most boring offensive strategy in the NFL, and he's sucked.
And no Arthur Smith now
anymore.
What
a surprise. Yeah. Look at how shocked I am, Mike.
Keep a close eye on Tennessee's offense without Arthur Smith and see what they look like with Julio. I think it's a great matchup for the Seahawks. Their big three, Russell Wilson, start. DK Metcalf, start. Tyler Lockett, one of the most underrated. Like I mentioned Brandon Cooks earlier. Him and Lockett, two of the most underrated receivers in football. Tonight on WGR at 8 p.m., Westwood One presents the Chiefs at the Ravens. Sunday Night Football on WGR Sports Radio 550 is brought to you by New York's Outlet Liquor. When you need to stock up, it's the place to buy a case. And by Armor Heat, do it right the first time. Lamar's losing everybody, Derek. Hollywood Brown was limited this week. You know who I like is Sammy Watkins.
He always is good in week one, and that always lures people in. But I think this week he continues it against Kansas City.
Sammy Watkins is the ultimate trickster for fantasy players. And if you could sell him high, sell him high.
Yeah, especially if he has a good week this week.
If he has another good
back-to-back
week,
weeks like that, sell him.
Try to get a pristine running back for that sort of thing.
Yeah.
The other thing is that Tyson Williams, very intrigued. Because Kansas City's run defense looked very, very bad against Cleveland. Granted, that's their bread and butter.
Right.
But they did not look like they were stopping any of it.
Well, it's the Ravens' bread and butter, too.
Exactly. So I would say that that's a really good play there, Tyson Williams, for another week. He's RB1 for us. Should we write it back on the board?
Yeah, I think we should.
Okay.
Round one, I should say week two here, wrapping up around the league. Packers, Lions, Derek, Monday Night Football. Green Bay looked just terrible against New Orleans. I can't imagine that happens a second time, right? I would imagine Aaron Rodgers goes off against Detroit. Perfect bounce back game.
Now, if Aaron Rodgers struggles against Detroit, I'm going to subscribe to the theory that he's tanking on purpose.
I blame the hair. Long-haired quarterbacks never win championships.
Well, guess what? You know what does win championships? Getting the right advice. That's next segment here on Breakfast with the Bills Fantasy Style. I'm Derek Kramer. That's Lou DiBiase. Get your questions in. Last chance at WGR550 on Twitter, or you can tweet us ourselves here at DiBiase, L-O-E, at Derek Kramer 49. Let's get it. Rapid fire coming up next. This is Breakfast with the Bills Fantasy Style on WGR.
Rapid fire. All right, everybody, back here for one more segment. It's Breakfast with the Bills Fantasy Style on WGR Sports Radio 550. Guys, be sure to catch Sal Capaccio all season long as he takes you behind the scenes on Bills game day with Sal's All Access Facebook Live on WGR's Facebook page, brought to you by Losin Ganji, Buffalo's workers' compensation and personal injury attorneys, working hard for hardworking Western New Yorkers.
Weather one last time for you. 87 degrees by kickoff at 1 p.m. down in Miami. 25% chance of rain, so there's possible shower poking in every now and then throughout the afternoon. This weather brought to you by Sullivan's Brewing Company from Ireland to Buffalo, the best ales in the world.
Time now to get connected with our fans, powered by Nextiva, the official communications partner, and by Premcom, the official telephone system of the Buffalo Bills. Power your business connection with Premcom. Derek, a few minutes here. Let's get into some questions asked from our listeners. Jacob Ander writes in, he needs one running back and one flex in PPR. James Robinson, Kenyon Drake, Mike Davis, Cortland Sutton, and Tyler Boyd. Oh, man. I like, man, Drake and...
Oh yeah,
Sutton?
Drake is probably your easiest answer.
I would say Drake and Sutton.
Yeah, I would say Drake. I'd rank it Drake, Sutton, Robinson, Boyd, Davis.
Yeah, I don't like Davis. Boyd is always going to be that third target with Cincinnati. Yeah, that's a tough one. But I would definitely go with Drake and Sutton. Bobby Buckets writes in, Trevor Lawrence or Mac Jones.
I'm going Trevor Lawrence.
Yeah. I mean,
but Mac Jones against the Jets is a pretty good option, too.
I agree. I just think with garbage time and with the way Lawrence pushes the ball down the field, I think he's always going to be fantasy playable for sure this year. Bucky from Hamburg writes in, RB2, Tyson Williams or Elijah Mitchell? That's a good one.
It's a good one, but I'm going with Tyson Williams first here.
Same.
I just wrote it back on the board. Tyson Williams, RB1
in
our hearts.
Forever. Better matchup. I think he's probably a better player with the way he looked
better
last week.
Volume.
Yeah, and Mitchell's
got to...
It's
more predictable.
Yeah, Mitchell's got to go up against that Eagles defense that really held Mike Davis
and Kyle Shanahan.
Yeah, 100%. Time for one more. Sam writes in, Robbie Anderson or DJ Chark?
Chark.
Really?
That one's not hard at all.
I'm going to go with Anderson.
Volume.
I'm going to go with Anderson.
Volume, garbage time. He's their wide receiver one.
It's boom or bust for Robbie Anderson, but I like Robbie in this one. All
Before
right, guys.
We sign off.
Oh, yeah.
Welcome back, Mike Jafari, behind the board.
Yes, sir.
Thank you, guys. Good to be back.
And Corey Griswold anchoring us along the way. Always good to hear from you. We've got the whole team here. More of it coming up.
That's right. This has been Breakfast with the Bills Fantasy Style on WGR. Bills game day coming up next. Thanks, everybody.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.